The title of the lecture is Support for Our True Selves, Nurturing the Space Where Leadings Flow. I pray that I will be led to speak to the condition of friends here tonight. I'll be explaining something of my spiritual beliefs, then looking at some ways humans, particularly Quakers, nurture spaces where leadings flow. The last part of the lecture, I will be sharing about some leadings I have had, and then I'll finish with some thoughts about how friends individually and corporately may be led in this 21st century. Let us think about the universe, the vastness of it. Everything we think, say, or do has a ripple-on effect throughout the universe, even though we are each the tiniest speck. It is important to understand how powerful we are, and yet how small. We can be true to ourselves and live a life that flows with the spirit of creation. Or we can be drawn into the confusing messages that human society gives us. We are encouraged by many messages to be greedy, to get things for ourselves that we need to live a certain lifestyle. In Australia and the US, the average person lives in such a way that if everyone on the earth consumed at the same rate as we do, we would need 5 planets. We are using 5 times our share, and we are only 5% of the world's population. We recognise that living this way is not supporting truth, simplicity, equality, or peace. Quaker Service Australia's mission statement reads, "We seek to promote basic rights and peaceful coexistence for all living things through respect for and sharing of the world and all its resources." And yet, each one of us here is caught up in consumerism and an economic system that is driven by the profit motive. I'm not going to go into all the mistakes that humans have made and continue to make that are causing death and suffering to millions of our species and destroying the beautiful ecosystems we have here on Earth. Knowing more of the horror of it may motivate us to take action in our lives, or it may bring on hopelessness, despair, and apathy. I would rather give attention to what it is that helps us to stay open to the leadings of the spirit, so that we have the courage to be our true selves. When I was asked to write this lecture, it was suggested that I write about simplicity and care of the environment. What came to me was a leading to explore how we nurture what motivates us to act so that the environment and all humans are cared for. And I want to communicate this in ways that are as accessible to as many humans as possible. That's why the lecture is going to be given again on Thursday to the junior young friends. As I wrote this lecture, I was thinking of people around the age of 10 or 11. I'm hoping that what I'm saying here will be words that speak to their condition. I use the word humans rather than the word people because I want to encourage a humble recognition that we are only one of many species on this planet. We are part of the whole of Gaia. We are not separate from her. I have taken the word Gaia from James Lovelock's Gaia theory and used it in my ways to describe the Earth. Like all of nature, we humans have evolved and belong here only if we coexist with the rest. We need to embrace a way of thinking about ourselves that sees us as we truly are, completely integrated into a whole. Gaia needs each of us to flow with the spirit of creation and to live as a part of her. We all have the capacity to flow with the spirit of creation. I call this being our true selves. If we can be our true selves, open to being constantly led by the spirit, we will live in a way that cares for Gaia. The next part of the lecture is about what I believe. It involves Gaia, the spirit, humans, clutter, and human society. I see Gaia as a single, complex, self-sustaining organism. She is amazingly complicated, beautiful, and nourishing to human life. Humans are inextricably a part of the ebbing and flowing organism that is Gaia. We are getting close to destroying the balance in Gaia that allows for human life. I am sure we have the power to turn around the destructive trend and return Gaia to the balance that will work for us. For this, we need to work with the spirit. For me, the spirit is all that is good, fun, creative, loving, truthful, beautiful. It is one divine presence or energy. It flows through absolutely everything. The spirit is our guide, teacher, and comforter. It can help us in every moment to remember who we are and what is important in our lives. We can stay open to the spirit and be led in all we do. Or we can carry on as though the spirit isn't there. If we do the latter, the spirit will still prompt us in different ways. Before I move on to talk about humans, I'd like us to hear a song that Verity Guyton has written that speaks to me about something of our nature as humans.
There is no other place to be. Sitting in the middle of Melbourne, eating guacamole on wedges. It's a little picture that I keep with me. When we're sitting in the middle of Melbourne, eating guacamole and wedges, there is no other place to be, because we're different, you and me, but together you and me can be, just like wedges and guacamole.
So yes, we have the capacity to simply delight in the moment we are in. Humans are inextricably a part of Gaia, and we are amazing. We are loving, cooperative, beautiful. Every single one of us is beautiful. We're courageous and powerful. Within each of us is that of God, our true selves. We have the capacity to choose to live consciously connected with the Spirit and with Gaia, being our true selves, or not. We are our true selves when we heed the promptings of love and truth in our hearts, every hour of every waking moment. These ongoing leadings may not be comfortable or easy, but they allow us to live full human lives. Unfortunately, there's clutter that gets in the way of our openness to the Spirit. That clutter is our attitudes, beliefs, upsets. Babies and young children are naturally connected with the Spirit. They have less clutter in the way. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To me, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's when there is very little clutter, when we are open to the leadings and we are flowing with the Spirit of creation. I believe that the clutter accumulates if we are not able to heal from hurts when they happen. We take on ways of thinking, attitudes and beliefs about ourselves and others that get in the way of us being our true selves. However good and loving parents are, in any society on this planet, it's hard for young ones to get the attention, respect, and love they deserve. I believe that when we're born, we anticipate, quite rightly, to be greeted with delight and to be treated with respect and love and dignity. At moments when that doesn't appear to happen, it's painful for us. If a young one hasn't got that respect for a little while, and then again for a little while, and then again for a little while, these hurts build up. And they begin to have wrong thinking about themselves. We begin to have wrong thinking about ourselves. We can think that maybe we aren't good enough and hide away. Or we can think maybe if we get more pushy, someone will pay attention. Or we can think that if we go out and earn a lot of money, that someone will show us the respect that we want. We can learn about our own clutter and we can take charge of processing it, systematically sorting it, and putting it where it will no longer be in the way. We all are struggling to break free from the clutter and to be our true selves, connected with the Spirit and with Gaia. It helps to repeatedly decide to open ourselves to the Spirit. That decision cleans away the dirt on the windows and lets the light in. Misinformation, injustice, and oppression in human society creates much of the clutter in the way of our connection with the Spirit, with Gaia, and with each other. Misinformation becomes internalized. We learn to believe untrue messages about ourselves and become disconnected from our true selves. The culture we are surrounded by teaches us untruths as well as truths. I have learnt that some of what my extended Quaker family and the Quaker schools that I attended feel are Quaker values, I think are actually white, English, middle class values. Classism, racism, disability oppression, sexism, the oppression of parents, artists, gays, lesbians and bisexuals all contribute to the piles of clutter. We need to become clear about the difference between misinformation and oppression on the one hand and the truth that comes from open connection with the Spirit on the other. And on that note, I'd like to ask Peter Yuknovich to sing a song he's written about a confusion that can happen about being our true selves.
This song is about all these objects that want to be different objects. I am a biscuit, and I live in a biscuit barrel. I wish I was a rock singer like Eddie Vedder or Perry Farrell. I am Swami, and I'm hanging in the window of a deli. I wish I was a whale with plankton in my belly. I am second hand, and I live on the face of a clock. I wish I was a turtle who lived under a rock. I am a toothpick, and I live under the sink. I wish I was and a ballpoint pen that never ran out of ink. I am a cardboard box, and I live in the middle of the road. I wish I was a firecracker waiting to explode. I am a hygienist, and I live in a town called Keith. I wish I was a real dentist, and I didn't have to clean my teeth.
I am a piece of sand who lives at the beach. I wish I was a product in the supermarket that was just out of reach.
Hey, 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 it's alright, it's okay. You probably didn't wanna be that old thing anyway. Hey, 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 it's alright, it's okay. You probably didn't wanna be that old thing anyway.
Just so you're not hanging out for any more songs, I'm sorry, that's it. No more songs. So I'll move on to look at how humans nurture the space where leadings flow and how Quaker ways of holding the space have supported me. It is within our nature as humans to heal ourselves, to hold the space of connection to the spirit free of clutter, and to keep the windows clean so that the light can shine through and give us clarity in our lives. We can do it intentionally or unintentionally. Some ways that humans do this are worship, giving thanks, and asking for connection. Tai Chi, yoga, meditation, being awarely in our bodies as we hold the space. Connecting with nature, being grounded with Gaia. Artistic expression, letting our creative energy flow. Social change, courageously holding out an expectation of justice. And friendship, opening ourselves to closeness. We Quakers hold meetings, hold lectures, hold each other in the light. It is good to think about what this holding is. A good way is to think about holding a baby. The baby needs to be held gently and firmly, but not tightly, with love and delight. The child needs us to be confident in our role of holding the child, and confident in the child's ability to be their own true self, led by the spirit. The experiences I had as a child that helped nurture the space where leadings flow included experiencing the physical pleasure of being alive in Gaia, playing on the beach, playing by streams, climbing trees, and the joy of connection and closeness with others. Bedtime stories and snuggles and games. It was good to grow up with access to music, literature and poetry. The experiences I had as a child amongst friends that helped nurture the space where leadings flow included being treated with respect. That respect that comes from being amongst people who know that there is that of God in everyone. Hearing the stories of courageous friends in the past nurtured the space for me where my leadings could flow. One story that I grew up with was of my grandfather. He was a conscientious objector in the First World War, and he spent those years in prison in Durham jail. I grew up knowing that if we didn't feel that things were right and we stuck up for what we did think was right, that that was actually a very fine thing to do. Another thing growing up amongst friends was going to Quaker holiday school, is what we had in England, a bit like Junior Young Friends Camp. And for me, There was a culture of inclusion rather than competition. Being amongst the young people, young Quakers, gave me a deep sense of belonging. For me, worshipping with friends is where openly and fearlessly we can become united as a priesthood of all believers, honouring the Spirit that flows through all creation, honouring God. A gathered meeting is more likely to be achieved if we each take on the responsibility of relaxedly holding the space. In that hour of worship, we can also experience being held. We can take rest and ask the Spirit that flows through all Gaia to remind us of our true nature. However dry the meeting for worship, I've noticed in the days after that there's a little more light in my life. Things flow more easily. I make smoother, more useful decisions. I think that the very decision to sit quietly with friends and open myself to the Spirit, whether I felt that connection or not, having made that decision helps my leadings to flow. Now I'm going to talk a bit about discernment with friends. I'm excited about Quaker discernment. I believe that our practice of bringing the Spirit into our decision making is something that is very hopeful. It is something that I think if humans did everywhere, we would get this planet and ourselves on it right. We have a natural capacity to discern minute by minute what is in right ordering with the Spirit of creation. This is what it means to be led. Because this capacity has not been encouraged, it is not something that comes easily. It is a skill that deserves practice. Friends meetings for business, clearness meetings, and experiments with light offer unique tools for decision making in partnership with the Spirit. We need to treasure, practice, and model these tools. We need to grow in confidence in using our decision making processes. I've experienced a few clearness meetings. I think a meeting for clearness is something that we probably each need at least once a year. There are so many decisions that we have to make, and it's entirely right that we ask each other to help us make those decisions, to sit in silence with the Spirit and open ourselves to guidance. The clearness meeting that I had that sticks most prominently in my mind was the one that replaced the Quaker wedding that we never had. A few years ago, we were living in a community farm 40 minutes from Bega, and I was feeling the need to actually be in Bega, not at the farm. And Chris wanted to stay at the farm where the trees were that he'd been planting, making sure that they were going well. We were not in unity about this big decision. Friends in Canberra joined us for a meeting for clearness, and what came out of that meeting was the clarity that our love for each other, that our marriage, was actually strong. And it was sufficiently strong for me to decide to move into town and for Chris to decide to stay at the farm. And that's what we did for a few years. We're now living together in Bega. The trees are doing all right without Chris. Friends in Australia offer ways of deepening our spiritual lives. I think this deepening of spiritual life is learning the capacity for discernment is practicing living, being open to the Spirit. We can do this in solitude. We can nurture our inner lives in solitude. This is an important part of spiritual practice. Our spiritual lives are also deepened in close relationship with others. We benefit from being listened to with love and without judgment. When we pay attention to the actual listening, we are nurturing the space where leadings flow. Spiritual friendships, Quaker basics, residential weekends, meeting for learning, Pendle Hill, Woodbrook, silent retreats, courses such as Hearts and Minds Prepared are available to us to deepen our spiritual lives. My year as a student of Meeting for Learning provided me with a space. I was nurtured in that space so that my leading to travel in the ministry could be supported, so that leading could flow, so that I could have the courage to set off and meet with friends and share the concern that Canberra Meeting had adopted, to speak about the simplicity testimony to friends. The Valiant 60, those friends in the early days, set off in pairs as they travelled in the ministry, and that had been my intention. Annabelle Cameron had offered to come with me, but she died before I left. Those early friends didn't have telephones. I had a telephone. I had friends wherever I was, but I was able to keep in touch with a support group that had been set up by Meeting for Learning and with the Meeting for Learning tutors. And I was able, in my travelling ministry, to hold spaces for the leadings of friends elsewhere to flow. I have the next slide, please. So this is the last aspect of how Quakers have helped me nurture the space where leadings flow. It's about spiritual friendships. I have a few spiritual friendships. They started, for me, within the re-evaluation co-counselling community. Now, those co-counsellors weren't necessarily thinking they were doing anything spiritual, but for me, it was spiritual. To have the opportunity to, in a structured way, swap time, have someone listen to me, and then me listen to them. This picture is of Joan Moby, our friend, member of Devonshire Street Meeting. She's a Quaker and she's also a co-counsellor. She wasn't able to be here tonight. I would have dearly loved her to be. Through all my writing of the lecture, she's been with me. And I know that she is sitting in her home with me now and with all of us. When she was 3, she had polio, which means that she struggles to maintain holding a phone to her ear. That's why she's there with the phone on her chest. It's a speaker phone, so she doesn't have to hold it. She celebrated her 80th birthday a year ago. She's had a very different life from me. But we've become very close. We have a great trust between us. We trust that we will be there, that we do totally love each other. It helps, actually, that she isn't in my life. I might get confused by some of the things she'd say or do if she was in my life, and she the same about me. That she's there and I'm at home, we're clear in that relationship, that at that moment in time we're there for each other. Living with integrity is a struggle. It's not easy. There are lots of fears to be faced. And to have someone each week to share those fears with, who has complete faith in me to be powerful enough to keep on in the direction that I am led, regardless of all the fear or other upset that comes up, means that it's possible for me to flow with the spirit of creation. So we meet on the telephone weekly to practice co-counselling and then to study the Quaker basics. We take it in turns to offload the emotional clutter that has mounted up in the last week, while the other one listens, confident in the truth of our goodness and connection with all that is. We give each other permission to cry, laugh, shake, yawn, etc., using the natural process of releasing these emotions creates the space for clarity and openness to the spirit. The early hurts can be healed or re-evaluated. Friends are good at believing in each other's goodness. Listening to each other with love creates a space where our true self is held in the way a baby is held, gently and firmly. I think we need to overcome our fear of expressed emotion. After all, we are called Quakers, so let us fearlessly quake and create safe places to encourage others to do so too. Joan and I have been reading a little from the Quaker Basics manual each week. It is called Basics, I think because it is about what is basic to Quakerism. However, it is not elementary. The readings are well chosen for those of us who want to nurture a space for connection with the spirit. Reading with Joan supports me in the discipline and provides her insights. I'd like to just read this advice because I think those of you at the back probably can't read the words. Do you cherish your friendships so that they can grow in depth and understanding and mutual respect? In close relationship, we may risk pain as well as finding joy. When experiencing great happiness or great hurt, we may be more open to the working of the spirit. Now I'd like you to try something. Lindsay said about not sitting too long in the same spot. Those of you who'd like to stand up, I invite you to stand up. Not move around too much, just wriggle a little bit. And take the hands of the people next to you and shut your eyes. Now, with your eyes shut, I'd like you to think about the hand you're holding. You can explore it a bit if you like. Think about what that hand has done, the work that it's done, the loving that it has given, the warmth that it gives to you now. And now I want us to go back in time, millions and millions of years, to when the world began. And realize that whatever happened then, many billions and billions of molecules, or stardust we can call it, was created. And every single speck still survives from that time. It has moved through millions of years, through plant life, animal life, and right now, in those hands that you are holding, there is the stardust from right back then. We are all deeply a part of Gaia and the universe. Thank you so much for doing that. Please sit down again. So now I'd like the next slide, please. Many events and people in my life have been signposts and support on my path to a more simple life. I'll mention five of these. I was 8 years old when our family moved from a middle-class suburb in the south of England to a mining village in the north of England, and I learned at a gut level that I was privileged. This led me to make a commitment to myself that I would never have more materially than any of my working-class primary school friends. The man I was led to share my life with and to have children with, Chris Allen, seems also to be on this path. Of all the people I know, he is one of the least compelled to consume, and also he is devoted to caring for the earth. Living among the Pitjantjatjara people in Central Australia for a couple of years gave me an understanding of humanity's deep connection with the earth. While I was there, I understood that their way of seeing things was that not only when you touch a plant or touch a rock are you affecting it, but also when you look at a rock or think about a rock, you have the power to be affecting that thing. Choosing to leave my homeland and my family on the other side of the world, I have learned how to hold people and places in my heart. I can have them clearly in my mind whenever I want them, so I don't crave always to be somewhere else with someone else. I acquired the disability, cranial dystonia, that challenges me throughout the day to be still. The spasm also makes it hard for me to drive. This has helped me to live in a way that is not dependent on a motor car. So some of my current leadings. I earn my money working in a whole food shop. It's a bulk whole food shop. There's very little packaging. We sell things that are whole, not processed as much as possible. We sell things that are produced as close or as locally grown as possible, and that are organically grown, that don't have pesticides and fertilizers used. I've been working there for many years. It's such a privilege to be earning my money in a ethical way, a way that I can feel completely comfortable with. I feel I'm living with integrity. There was a little blip in there that I wasn't happy with. And after 18 years of being in a partnership of six, we've now become a workers' cooperative. To me, this increases the justice of the situation of my employment. I'm no longer an employer, I'm now one of the employees on the payroll. And we are all working together there cooperatively. I think this is the way that is natural for human beings to work. It wasn't easy making that change. It took over 2 years. There was a lot of heartache. Not everyone saw it the same way. Different people needed different things. And I stuck with it. And it's worked. Now, I only work part-time, and one of the biggest projects that's happening right now is the Bega Eco-Neighbourhood Developers. And I was led to get involved in that purely because I'd moved from Tandawangalo, where we had a house that was not consuming too much of the earth's resources. And I wanted to live in a similar house in Bega. Most of the houses in Bega are silly. They're not oriented to the north. There's no way that you can really get through the winter without plugging into far too much of some fossil fuel or other. So I started to look around, and by the time Chris had decided to come and join me in Bega, we'd found a plot of land and a group of people who thought, let's do it. This is a perfect spot. We can put a whole street there. What a big plan. And it's happening. We've bought the land and we've recently got the DA approved. So Bega Valley Shire Council have agreed that there should be a whole street of houses with composting toilets within 5 minutes of the post office. This is new and it's great. And I'm very excited. These are big things that I've just talked about, but little things too. I know are the right way forward for me. I know that it's not right for me to drink caffeine or alcohol or have too much sugar. I know that it's not right for me to eat too much fat. I know these things because I've learned that if I do it, it gets in the way of my connection with the spirit. It stops me from being connected. And so I try and avoid those things. Sugar's the hardest one. I'm a sugar addict. So please don't offer me sugar. When I think about all these leadings, I notice that in all of them, I have been led to hold a space with a spirit. The workers' cooperative was something that I held, and the way I held it was to keep believing in it and to facilitate meetings, take minutes at meetings, keep the connections between the people flowing as best as I could. And that's how I've worked with Bend, in fact more so with Bend than with the shop. The shop I was too caught up with having been a partner and the pain of it. So that's a little bit about my leadings. Now I'm going to go on and give the lecture now. This is the bit where I wag my finger. I hope not. There is hope for the human race. If we choose to develop our connection with Gaia and live our lives daily in relationship with the spirit of creation, with all we have behind us as friends, surely this is something that we can do, we can model in our lives. Friends can make an important contribution to the world by honing our practice of listening to the spirit for guidance and demonstrating it. I've thought of six areas that we can address. The first is, as individuals, to choose to be our true selves in the context of Gaia. We will benefit from listening to Indigenous Australians. By listening, we will be holding a space for leadings to flow. Our leadings and their leadings, but listening is what we have to do. That means actually getting close to Indigenous Australians in our lives. We also will benefit from informing ourselves about how our lifestyle is impacting on Gaia. Be good to know, good to check it out. So that's the first area. The second is downsizing. We each need to make a stand against the consumerism that is destroying human community and destroying the earth. Third is to think about our testimonies. The media portrays human activity on this planet in a way that draws us as friends perpetually to think about our peace testimony. If we want to have our peace testimony, we need to live the other testimonies too. Peace will come with justice. While we live in a state of inequality, there will not be justice and there will not be peace. So we need to address those other testimonies: simplicity, truth, and equality. Every aspect of our lives can be a testimony to our faith. I feel privileged to have young friends who I am closely related to. I love them deeply, my children, and so I pay attention. I notice what they're doing. I try and see what's going on in their lives. And when I see them gathered with young friends, I learn the testimony that I see that young friends live. They, as I see it, hold each other in the light. They come to yearly meeting and young friends camps, and they listen to each other, and they encourage each other, and they love each other, and they give each other space to be who they truly are. And then they buzz off into their lives and live lives with integrity, knowing that there's a whole bunch of them there who are right behind them. So the fourth thing is deciding to refuse to act on feelings of despair. These feelings could be fear, anger, apathy. They are real. And it's good to find somewhere safe to express them, but they must not guide our actions. We can learn from the Spirit what is meant of us and practice the courage of making changes that are uncomfortable. And the fifth one, it's individuals, I believe, in our daily lives, minute by minute, that actually bring about change. We each need to live our lives with integrity, where we are, with the people physically closest to us. The important work of the Society of Friends is to support individuals to live lives that flow with the spirit of creation. We're friends in the truth. Let us support each other in that truth. We can use Quaker processes and Quaker wisdom to support each other in being our true selves. So I've got a page of conclusion to read, and then that will be that. But this last advice here, I just treasure the advices and queries. And I think it's one of the gifts that we have. I'd like to see us practice listening to the Spirit, waiting in the light, and learning minute by minute what we need to do to be our true selves within Gaia, remembering that wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we are cherished by God. Right now, we humans belong here as part of Gaia. We are lucky to be a part of such intricate complexity, to be able to witness the beauty and wonder of it all. However, it is easy for us to lose touch with this truth. As a species, we are blundering around, destroying the very basis of our existence and causing deep suffering to each other. And we each play a part in this. This behaviour, I'm convinced, does not reflect the truth about ourselves. It merely demonstrates that we are not behaving true to form. If we were being true to form, we would be loving and cooperative, using our amazing intelligence to ensure that all humans have the basic rights of clean air, food, water, shelter, respect and dignity without causing any harm to Gaia. Every small child understands these human rights. Children have a clearer understanding of what it is to be our true selves, and they can tell when we are not. We are our true selves when we are connected to the Spirit, to each other, and to Gaia. This connection is not something that is mystical, supernatural, huge, and unattainable. It is completely natural and within all we do, the mundane as well as the exciting. Being connected to the Spirit is nothing more than listening to the promptings of love and truth in our hearts. This is something that all humans do, but not always with awareness or intention. We need to understand the clutter that gets in the way of this connection. We need to be able to recognize when the clutter is speaking and when we are being our true selves. We need to hold a space free of the clutter so that we can be led by the Spirit. It is only clutter that makes us crave the false security and comfort that affluent society tempts us with. We can choose to clear the clutter away and think, speak, and act as our true selves. Our true selves will insist on living in right ordering with Gaia. It's not easy to be our true selves, fully connected to Gaia.